Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, and with a couple of our guys from our Men's Ministry Center. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning. We're doing well.
Been an interesting week. Been a wet week type things, but here we are, ready to share God's blessings, right, with our neighbors in the greater Lenawee County community. So before we went on the air, we selected a scripture we wanted to reflect on, and to some degree, it kind of ties into our most recent study. We've been looking at Brennan Manning's The Ragamuffin. Right. We've only gone through the first chapter. Any insights you'd like to share with our listening audience about that book?
One of the major insights that I've came across so far is, just accepting that, God loves us as we are and not who we expect to be. I know a lot of people think, common society, we have to be a certain way, but regardless of what we're going through, good or bad, God's always there for us. He's always waiting for us, to be more a part of his life.
Right. We're kind of brought up. It's like, if you finish school, you'll be accepted. And if you finish school, then if you get a good paying job, then you'll be accepted. And if you do this, and then if you do that. So it's all conditional, right? And oftentimes it just sets us up for failure, because then what if I don't? If I don't, then I'm not loved and blah, 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 blah. And I think, Brandon's absolutely right. I mean, God loves you as you are, not as you should be. Right? Now, we would also take it one step further and say, well, once I get that truth deep down inside of me, that truth will change my life and I won't be the same as I am. Right. And then leading into that for today, we found a scripture that comes out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and reads, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Mm-hmm. Any initial thoughts? How you doing with your identity, right? If Brennan says things like, God loves you as you are, right? And Brennan will go so far and say, look, when you get to heaven, Jesus is going to ask you one question only, right? Did you trust the fact that I loved you? Right? And I think we can spend a lot of time intellectually, my brain going, I believe there's a God and God exists and okay, He loves me, but that doesn't mean I've claimed it as my own truth and identity. We say in here a lot, look, we are beloved, men's ministry, we're beloved sons, but for our listening audience, we are the beloved children. As John says, we are a child of God. That's my deepest, truest identity. And I have to claim that.
I think we have to, we look at our identity as we are beloved sons, but we also have to look at our purpose. Okay, we have to practice that every day, 24/7. And I think that's what the problem is with, we're going through, it's hard times out there. We struggle every day. But you always got to remember, Jesus loves you, this I know, or the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
And that's just, this is the way it is, and it brings me to tears to know that Jesus, God saved a wretch like me. Mm. Wretch, to really understand that. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that, because changing one person, and what we do here at the Neighbors of Hope, which changed guys' lives, that is so important. Because once you change one person, then that's a domino effect. And it's a better community all around. But all I know today is I can say, is I love Jesus with my whole heart. And I would really, really hope, and I pray for the community to join us, you know, because God is love.
Well, right? I mean, so that's from chapter 3 of 1 John, you know, his first epistle. If we jumped over one more chapter, that's precisely chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. John tells us, God is love. Twice he says it, right? You know, when I was young and in school, grammar, they say anytime you see is, it's kind of like an equal sign, right? Mm-hmm. God equals love. And there again, we're not talking about that the emotional component. We're talking about agape, which is more of an action oriented. God wills the good of all of God's creation. That's all God can do, right? And then part of that willing the good of creation, well, that includes me then. God is the source of willing the good of all creation, right? So God is love. And therefore, when we engage in that reality, right? Somehow when we talk about transformation as a beloved child, then I'm willing the good of the other. You look at the life of Jesus, all he did was will the good of the other. From the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. Willing the good of the very people who are executing him. Therefore, Paul can write, Jesus was faithful and obedient even unto death upon a cross. He's not faithful and obedient just because he dies on the cross and brings salvation, right? Saves us, heals us, those, right? Before he got to the cross, he was doing all that. Faithful and obedient to what? To his deepest, truest identity. That's what he kept telling everybody. Look, I'm the son, and so are you. You're the beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of God. Can we form a community and make this a reality that's visible and tangible to all that look upon it? There becomes our purpose, right? Much like Jesus, we become, because like in Hebrews, you know, he's the chief priest, right? Priests and rulers, we talk about. Priests in the sense that I take that truth and I run it vertically, you know, between God. So, right, what we call worship, praise, goes up to God, but then, you know, the God reality comes down into us, and then it goes out through us, and the horizontal through part is us being a ruler, right? Back to Genesis. We're caretakers of creation. Not that we dominate and rule like tyrants, right. You know, autocrats, right. And all that kind of stuff. No. We will the good of creation. That's the ruling part. That's the serving part. And that's what you see in the life of Christ. He was a priest and a ruler. Right? It has that connection vertically, brings it out into reality horizontally.
Yeah. And that's the thing we do here at Neighbors of Hope. When the gentlemen come in here, we look at them as Jesus. Okay? Just like Jesus looked at us as Jesus. Okay? And it's so good to be able to finally have that feeling and understanding. Because, you know, I mean, okay, we can go, we can get saved, we can, you know, pray for forgiveness, but until you really have that understanding on what love is and what you can't keep it, you gotta give it away, you know, and
you can't give away something you don't have,
right? And you know, and I always tell the brothers, and I live by this daily, is that, hey, I'm a loved son today, Jesus loves me, and I'm gonna practice my humility and spread that love. That's just the way it is, you know. I mean, I guess you have to come and really, you know, there's no riding a fence, you know. You either in or you out, you know.
Well, right, Jesus says, you know, you can't be lukewarm. You pick a side, mm-hmm. hot or cold, but you can't be lukewarm. And you're right. I think a lot of us like to sit on the fence and have one foot in each. And, you know, Thomas Merton, you know, a great monk from the 20th century. He died in 1968, but he as a spiritual kind of leader of the time, he was outstanding, but he would say, look at, we have two selves. We have our true self and we have our illusionary self. And our true self is when we can claim our truest, deepest identity. We are beloved children of God. Otherwise, we are trying to advance an illusionary self, right? Whether that be, you know, we would say, I'm putting up a front, right? You know, where we're, where we're pretending to be something that deep down inside we know we're not. And we will put a lot of time and energy into that. And in doing so, we can't figure out why we're still miserable, right? As opposed to if we claim our truest self, beloved child of God, then whatever's going on in the world, that truth never changes, right? And whether I'm right, we would say in the storm, coming out of the storm, getting ready to go in. You keep that truth all the way through each of those stages. And you let God be God and you be the beloved child and we do life and we will the good of others and we form a community, which is what Christianity is really all about.
Yeah.
You know, Martin Luther King Jr., you know, once it's the beloved community, right? Well, it's a community of people who claim their deepest, truest identity as the beloved of God. And that's more than just kind of going through our rituals and our sin managements and all these other type of things. It's what Jesus called the kingdom. It's a reality that's here. It's not complete. Already, not yet, you know, but you can taste it. You can participate in it. And you know that eventually its fullness is coming. And we kind of relate to that as kind of like the second coming, right? There's just going to be the full establishment of what God's vision for God's creation has always been. Well, we got a couple more minutes there. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah. As we're talking about, you know, having that unconditional truth of self and truth that, you know, the Lord is our only way. And it takes so much more time and energy to live in an illusion and not accept the fact that we're loved unconditionally each and every day. You know, I believe that we have to continue to remind ourselves each and every day, because it's not easy. That the more that we genuinely unconditionally have that love that Jesus has for us, the more that we be prepared for the second coming.
And probably conclusion, we're running out of time here, right? It's one of those things, I get it. You know, God is incomprehensible, right? So we don't want to, we can say God is love. Okay, well, what is that, right? In a minute we think we can define God fully, we're wrong, right? But we're at least wrong when we think of God as love. That being said, there are people in the world that, you know, I look at your brother and you got a piece about you. I'd like to get something like that. Where does that come from? But, you know, this thing that's incomprehensible. I don't feel, I'm not experiencing belovedness. That's our job. Our job then is to come in front of that person and shower them with the love that's in me, right? And that's where all of a sudden they can encounter the God who calls them their beloved. And that becomes our purpose. And we have an opportunity to do that today. I hope our listening audience takes advantage of those opportunities. And before you know it, if we're all doing this, we just might transform creation.
Yes, amen.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you sharing your insights with this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we do this again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.